We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
A question that I want to pose to you today is this. Is praying a productive use of your time? Of course we would say that, isn't it? Martin Luther said this, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." That might put some of us to shame. I think he got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. "I have so much to do that I will spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Now, we think we would agree with that. When I asked you that question, you'll go, yeah. I know you believe it, but do you actually live it? Do we actually live as though that is true? Now, in our culture, in the Western world that we live in, we have quite an achiever mindset, don't we? We kind of look at our day or look at our week, and it can look like a series of tasks that need to get done, okay? And there are tasks that need to get done, let's be honest. And we value people that can do those tasks efficiently and effectively and well. I get this, okay? If you've ever done Strength Finder, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it doesn't matter. But if you've ever done the Strength Finder test, my highest strength is achiever, okay? I love getting things done. Actually, if you spend any time with me, I am a bit ADHD, not really ADHD, but I struggle to sit and do nothing. I don't do nothing, okay? I like doing things all the time. I like filling my day with stuff and kind of having that sense of accomplishment at the end of the day that, yes, I got it done. And I must confess, there are times where I used to think that, well, prayer, yeah, okay, I'll do that because I know that I need to do that and I know God needs to be with me in this. But really, I just need to get out there and do stuff for Him. That's the main thing that I have to do. But here's the thing. God will accomplish a whole lot more than I ever will, than Ken and Roz ever will, that you ever will. And so it's about a partnership with Him. And if we are so achiever-orientated, we'll miss the partnership. God is looking for partnership, not performance. A partnership with you, not a performance from you. You're not going to get any extra credits, okay? In the time you spend with God in prayer. Why you need to do it is so that you're partnering with Him in that. And that's the example, the person we're looking at today, because the series we're looking at the moment is people of faith, especially throughout the Old Testament. And we've looked at Noah a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at Joseph a few weeks ago. And now we're kind of moving ahead in the chronology of time where Israel now is established as a nation, and they're looking to leaders to lead them. And they go through the time of Judges, and in between the time of Judges and then coming into the time of the great kings of Israel, like David and Solomon, we have this guy called Samuel. And Samuel is one of the unsung heroes, I believe, of this time. In Samuel's time, Israel was threatened by a number of nations around them that didn't want them there. It kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And they were in desperate need of godly leadership, where someone needed to take the reins and say, "Come on, guys, stay true to God, stay focused on Him, we'll get through this. He will protect us." And Samuel was the man that did that. But he didn't have a very good start in life. He had a pretty rough start. He was away from his family, and the people that were around his life were not very good role models. So not a really great start. However, there was a big upside. He grew up in church. Now, I don't mean he just went to church on Sundays. I mean he literally grew up in church. That's where he lived. He lived in the temple. And we picked up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21. "And the Lord was gracious to Hannah," that's Samuel's mum. "She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. So he was the eldest, but after Samuel was born, she had other kids. "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. And one day, Samuel, and maybe you know the story if you've been through Sunday school, he's literally sleeping beside the Ark of the Covenant. He's right at the altar of the church, if you like, where most people considered if there was the presence of God was going to dwell, it was going to be there. And he hears a voice calling to him, Samuel. And a few times, and he doesn't know who the voice is, but he learns that it's the voice of God. Samuel learns that in the presence of God, you hear the voice of God. That's it. And so Samuel grows up. We pick up the story in 1 Samuel 3, verse 19. As Samuel grew up, the Lord helped him and made everything Samuel said come true. From the town of Dan in the north to the town of Beersheba in the south, everyone in the country knew that Samuel was truly the Lord's prophet. Spoke on behalf of God, could hear from God, and spoke the words of God. The Lord often appeared to Samuel at Shiloh and told him what to say. So Samuel, unlike other leaders of nations around that time, wasn't a great warrior. He wasn't a king. He wasn't this man that kind of went, okay, guys, let's go out and take on this army. Actually, the interesting thing, and when you read through the book of Samuel, actually, if you read all around this time, is every other judge before him and every other king after him was a warrior. But he wasn't. He was a prayerful intercessor. And just like today, I'm sure there were many people in Samuel's time that went, oh, really? You know, because to be honest, we think like that a little bit, don't we? We value prayer. Right? We do? We value prayer? Okay. We value the intercessors, but we kind of think they're the background people. No offense if you're an intercessor, but it's just kind of the mindset we can have, isn't it? That there's the doer people, you know, the extroverted out there people, that they're the get it done people, you know, the achiever type people, and then there's the intercessor people in the background. Well, Samuel breaks the mold. He goes, no, I'm one of the background people, but I'm coming to the foreground. Why? Because he was a prayerful leader. He was very much a leader. And what Samuel proves to us is this, that you can lead by listening. You can lead by listening. And actually the most important thing is that you hear the voice of God. So in the 30 years that Samuel reigns Israel, get this, there was complete peace and prosperity in that nation. Now you might think, oh, well, yeah, so what? No, you've got to get the context here. There were nations all around them trying to wipe them out, including the Philistines, who were a warring nation. Like, they literally grew up to go, how do we take Israel off the planet? Like, this, they were under threat the whole time, and yet Samuel doesn't pick up a sword, doesn't lead the army into battle. Why? Because God delivers them. 1 Samuel Chapter 7, verse 13. For as long as Samuel lived, the Lord helped Israel fight the Philistines. The Israelites were even able to recapture the towns and territory between Ekron and Gath. Israel was also at peace with the Amorites. But Samuel doesn't do it. He just stays and prays. And God delivers him. Verse 15. Samuel was a leader in Israel all his life. Every year, he would go around to the towns of Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, where he would serve as a judge for the people. Then he would go back to home in Ramah and do the same thing there. He also had an altar built to the Lord in Ramah. So Samuel leads his nation. He leads them by showing them, listen to God. This is how he did it. Let's read an account of one of those. 1 Samuel 7, verse 3. One day Samuel told all the people of Israel, if you really want to turn back to the Lord, then prove it. Get rid of your foreign idols, including the ones of the goddess Astarte. Turn to the Lord with all your heart and worship him only. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines. No, the Philippines is not threatening New Zealand at the moment. The Philistines. The people got rid of all their idols to Baal and Astarte and began worshipping only the Lord. Then Samuel said, "Tell everyone in Israel to meet together at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." The Israelites met together at Mizpah with Samuel as their leader. They drew water from the well and poured it out as an offering to the Lord. On that same day, when they went out without eating to show their sorrow, and they confessed that they had been unfaithful to the Lord. So notice what's happening here. Samuel goes, okay, how we're going to solve that is we're going to worship. Let's meet up on this hill all together as a whole nation, and we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to pray together. And by the way, I don't want you to prepare for battle by eating a good meal and, you know, taking up your arms. I want you to fast. So they are physically weak, spiritually focused, meeting in prayer and worship on a mountain. When the Philistine rulers found out that they were meeting at Mizpah, they sent out an army to attack Israel. The Israelites were afraid when they heard the Philistines were coming. "Don't stop praying," they said to Samuel, because, hey, we haven't got anything else going on here. You better pray. Ask the Lord to rescue us. Samuel begged the Lord to rescue Israel. Then he sacrificed a young lamb to the Lord. Now, just picture the scene and imagine if this was you. You're gathered on a hill. And Samuel's there and he's going, "Now let's pray and God will deliver us." And then you see this army completely surrounding you. And then they come up this hill. You've got no means of escape. And they start, literally they're starting to attack you. And you're kind of going, "Oh," and you're thinking, "Man," like, what would you do? Would you think, "Okay, no, Samuel and his God, God will come through, we'll be fine"? Or do you start freaking out and either running or picking up arms and fighting? Samuel had not even finished offering the sacrifice when the Philistines started to attack. I mean, so it's, they're right there. They're not off at a distance, they are upon them. But the Lord answered his prayer and made thunder crash all around them. The Philistines panicked and ran away. Now you might think, "Oh yeah, man, what wimps the Philistines are." No. These guys aren't wimps. I mean, that must have been a really impressive thunderstorm. The men of Israel left Mizpah and went after them as far as the hillside of Bethkar, killing every enemy soldier they caught. The Philistines were so badly beaten that it was quite a while before they attacked Israel again. After the battle, Samuel set up a monument between Mizpah and the rocky cliffs. He named it Help Monument to remind Israel just how much the Lord had helped them. See, here's the thing. Is in our lives, we will be faced with situations where God says, "Will you be faithful? Will you stand and pray and listen to what I'm going to say?" And you'll stand there and then you'll think at the last minute, "But God, will you really come through?" And you'll think, "Do I have to do it myself? Because I haven't heard anything. Do I run or do I wait and do I listen?" And Samuel proves that we listen first. We really listen. What does that look like? What can we learn from the life of Samuel? Well, here's the first one, and it's in your notes. We need to spend time in God's presence. There's just no shortcut to that. Why? Because it's in God's presence that we hear God's word. And so if you're neglecting that time in prayer where you're taking time every day to be in his presence, you won't hear from God. Well, you might. He might be gracious and kind of go, "Okay, you're kind of distracted, but I'm going to speak to you anyway." But there is a much more likelihood that God is going to speak to you if you are spending time in his presence. The second thing that we learn is that Samuel leads the people to get rid of idols, to get rid of distractions. Now you might think, "Well, I don't have idols in my life." Yeah, but we do. We do. It's called that glowy thing that hangs on the wall, or that glowy thing. No, just well, it could be. It's those things that distract us. It's those things that we're going to choose rather than spending time with God. It's those things that we have to put aside to keep our focus fully on the Lord. Here's the third thing. We have to have the courage to follow through. I don't know about you, but standing on a hill praying when there's people literally charging at me with a sword and spear, I'm going, okay, that's got to take some courage. And Samuel consistently shows courage to do exactly what God calls him to do. Nothing more and nothing less. And I was trying to think of a recent example of this, and I couldn't think of it while I was preparing the sermon. Then we had this men's breakfast yesterday. I was literally sitting beside, and Aki can, wherever he can testify to this, talking to this guy about an incredible answer to prayer that God did. So these guys were leading a mission, a local mission here in Christchurch. And the house that they were meeting in and using this mission for wasn't suitable anymore. And God said, sell the house. So they went, okay, we'll do that. So they sold the house. They had $200,000 as profit from the sale of this house. And they said, okay, God, what do we do with this? What property do you want us to now buy to serve this ministry? He says, I don't want you to buy a property. I want you to put it in bonus bonds. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think, huh? Like, I don't think I'm hearing from God right here. Now, I don't know if any of you have money in bonus bonds, but it wouldn't be the first thing that I would think. As an investment point of view, I wouldn't think that bonus bonds is the greatest investment in the world. Okay, sure, you get your money back. You don't give it away. It's not like playing lotto. But, you know, it's not, you know, I haven't heard of anyone winning, like, lots of money doing bonus bonds. Anyway, they put this $200,000 in bonus bonds. A year later, they get a call from the bonus bonds place, which apparently is in Dunedin. Give them a call. You've won $1 million. In 1 year. They went out, bought the exact property they needed for the ministry. They've sown into many people's lives. They gave a decent chunk of it away, and it just set them up. And you think, that's amazing. That's listening. And having the courage to follow through on what God tells you to do. Are we that willing to spend the time in prayer? Are we prepared to really wait and listen? Here's the fourth thing that Samuel did. He did in public what he learned in private. And I know for many of us, we do spend that time with God in prayer. I know that you are hearing from God, and that is fantastic. But are you applying it to your everyday life? Are you praying for your work situation? Are you praying for your family situation? Are you praying for opportunities every day to share your faith with others? Are you asking God what the next step looks like? What does it mean to live like for Jesus today? What opportunities are there for me today? And when you come across someone and you've got that opportunity to pray for them, is that your first reaction? To give advice and to give help, or to offer prayer? And to slow down and say, hey, let's listen to God in this. Hey, I'm guilty of this too. I can jump too quickly into, I go, oh yeah, I know just what you need to do. You need to do this. And I haven't even prayed and thought about it yet. And God is convicting me to go, Warren, just dial back your achiever. You know, just dial it back a bit. Wait on me. And listen, because I don't know about you, but I want to do what God wants, not just what I want. Because I think he's got a whole lot better ideas than me. My idea wouldn't have been to put money into bonus bonds. My idea wouldn't be to worship on a mountain when an army's going to attack. But it was God's idea, and when God has ideas, he follows through. And he does powerful things around us when we're prepared to listen. And when I was younger, I do confess, I used to just jump in, and if I saw a problem, I'd go, okay, how quick can we fix this? And I don't know about you, but yeah, I prayed, but it was more, God, I'm kind of doing this, I'm marching forward, and by the way, can you bless what I'm doing? Because that would be really cool, you know? And then you laugh, but you do this. And I'm just trying to learn to go, okay, God, I'm not moving until I hear from you as to what to do. Because being an efficient type person, I don't want to waste my time. doing things that God isn't doing. And so in my 50s, now that I'm in my 50s, I'm there. You know, I'm starting to learn in the second half of my life that listening is actually a way more important than I used to think. I used to think it was all about doing. And it is about doing. But it starts with listening. And I'm developing this default setting now where I'm waiting on God. I'm just spending time in God's presence. Now, here's the thing. You think, man, God must be just downloading whole lots of stuff to you. No, he doesn't. God actually doesn't speak to me that much. Now, you might go, whoa, oh, hang on. Aren't you the professional religious type? You know, don't you get downloads all the time? No, because here's the thing. God doesn't have to say much. But when he says something, it is so powerful and you so know it that when you act on it, amazing things happen. You don't need to hear a lot from God, but we do need to hear from God. Don't just assume you know what God wants you to do. Actually, take the time and listen. So think through situations in your life. Think through situations that you're facing right now. Have you prayed about it? And not just, oh God, can you bless us and God, can you come through for me? But have you actually waited on God for an answer? Are you listening? That's the question.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.